Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Other Identity, your favorite podcast, and yours, and yours, and yours. Of course, I'm Robbie Landis, one of your hosts, and along with me, as always, is Ben. And we're both doing good. I'm going to answer for you, Ben.
Whoa, just Ben?
Just Ben. Ben.
Just Ben.
My good friend
leading?
Ben, who's on his way
somewhere?
To becoming Dr. Awesome.
I've got a ways to go before I become Dr. Awesome. I've got quite a bit more work to do before we're there, but thank you for the acknowledgement.
Well, if you guys are wondering why I am in such good spirits here, it's
seriously,
because of all of you downloading. In fact, last week's episode about Tom King and Mitch Gerard's Mr. Miracle was one of our most downloaded episodes within this year, in the year of 2021. So here's hoping that continues to go up and up and up. But a little bit of a disappointment. We don't have another review.
I put the call out for this. I was hoping we'd get another review by the end of today. But listen, if you are listening to the show, and we know there are many of you, and you have not left us a review, please take the time to do it. It doesn't even need to be a good review. It can be a bad review. It can be about what you're annoyed at us about. I mean,
it's an honest review.
As long as it's honest. Yeah, don't make stuff up. We don't need that. We're doing enough stuff wrong without you guys making stuff up that we're doing wrong. But yeah, please let us hear from you. As always, Robbie, remind them what the big prize they're working towards with these reviews is.
Well, if we get to 30 reviews before August, then our listenership will get to help me decide what superhero or villain, I'm not picky, I have to cosplay into work as. And if we get to 40, Ben is apparently going to try to cosplay.
Yes, I will teach a class in casual cosplay.
All right. Well,
I feel like there's much less on the line for you going into the offices of Checkpoint XP than for me going on the campus of UNLV.
Oh, they'll take pictures.
Would that be accurate?
They'll take pictures.
Well, of course, there'll be pictures, it'll be understood.
It depends on who I have to end up cosplaying as, really. That's what it comes down to.
Although I will say that Checkpoint friend of the family, I don't know what he is, Daniel Igboya, who was formerly on Checkpoint on campus, used to TA my podcasting class, and every Halloween came in dressed in full Mario regalia.
Nice.
And but he was a TA, so I think he could get away with it. I feel like, you know, me, Professor Awesome, a little bit more prestige on the line. Who knows?
A little bit.
Exactly.
So, for today's episode, we're actually going to be talking about the Marvel Phase 4 announcements that did happen last week.
Yeah, but this rocks my world.
That we record, you know, sometimes that's just how it happens in the podcast.
Sure.
Before we get to that, though, I want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that we've been reading, or in my case, watching. I finally decided, I slept till 1 p.m. during the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So when it came time to go to bed, I was not ready for bed and decided to give Invincible on Amazon.
I saw this. So how far in did you make it?
I'm currently on episode 6, and don't get me wrong, obviously it's a good show. I mean, you could tell that by the way that the entire internet reacted to it. But now that, you know, alongside of the boys, we have two of sort of these like hyper violent, hyper gory superhero stories.
Sure.
I've realized that genre,
not for you.
It's like the horror genre is for me. I see the worth in it, right? I see why people like it. It's obviously a good you know, piece of storytelling. But the gore, I don't know what that specifically brings to the medium besides shock value.
Shock value.
And people are like, well, this is what it would be like if superheroes were real. Fair. Absolutely. You know, what we read in DC and Marvel and the idealized heroes, you know, always being able to save people. You're right. That's probably not what real life would be like. But I still think you can get that message across without showing hyper blood and gore, you know, every other episode.
Yeah, I actually, it was funny. I was at a birthday party last week, and this guy came up to me who I've only met a couple times. This is. I don't know if you have this same thing that happens to you if you are like the default comics guy in your group of friends. And so basically, he came up to me and said, like, "Oh my god, Ben, I watched Invincible. I've been waiting for weeks to talk to you about it." And I'm just like, I have not watched Invincible. It's like, and I said to him, I was like, it's not like 1992 where the X-Men cartoon is the only comics thing on TV. So obviously I'm going to watch it. There are dozens and dozens of superhero shows, so I don't know what I'm going to get to. But I'll say that when I read Invincible way, way, way back in the day when it was first coming out, I liked it, but I never, it never became one of my favorites. And I think it's for a lot of the same reasons that you're stating, that it was like a rock solid superhero story, which was fun. And I liked how it, you know, subverted certain expectations and things like that. But the level of shock and awe type tactics just didn't sit with me. It's just not what I'm looking for when I read or watch a superhero product. I understand the value in it, much like you said. There's something to portraying, like, this is how it would happen in real life. But much like you, it's just not, that's not my wheelhouse. That's not what I follow this stuff for. So I'm sure Invincible is a fine show. It's always been a pretty good comic. And, you know, if anyone's enjoying it, more power to them. But yeah, much like you, it's not for me.
Yeah. All right, so we'll get caught up in what you're reading next week, Ben, here, because I really want to get into what we're talking about today. We have a lot to talk about. There's a lot to digest here. So in just a second, the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Phase 4, is upon us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listen, we know that there's a ton of video game podcasts out there, but I guarantee you, you've never heard one like this one. Checkpoint Daily is one of the only podcasts for esports and gaming coming out every single day.
One of the only ones worth listening to, anyway.
That's absolutely true. So whether we're talking about the latest developments with who Nintendo decides to sue, or the LCS, we've got the lowdown. So make sure you check us out at Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Beepod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are, of course, I don't know why I'm telling you, you know, you are listening to The Other Identity by Checkpoint XP. But if this is the only thing you listen to, I must encourage you to go and check out some of our other stuff as well. Checkpoint on Campus, Checkpoint Daily, Checkpoint on Demand. If you like what you hear when you listen to us, you'll probably like what you hear when you listen to some of the other ones. At least give them a try. So Marvel shocked the internet last week when they dropped.
Was this heralded at all? Like, did we know this was coming? Or
no,
did this just dropped.
This was out of nowhere. I went into work on Monday and it was just all over the internet, basically. But they had dropped a trailer that was essentially sort of a, you know, see you at the movies type deal.
Right.
It started with a just tear-inducing narration by the late Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, summing up some of what we've had with, like, the Infinity Saga so far. And then basically it used that to sort of announce the lineup for Marvel over the next 3 years, which essentially encapsulates Phase 4.
This reminded me of, like, a sizzle reel you'd see at, like, a San Diego Comic-Con
exactly,
or something like that.
Yes.
So I think it was very much like, oh, well, there's probably not going to be a San Diego Comic-Con again this year, so why don't we remind everyone about...
of now, apparently, remember, it's going to be over Thanksgiving weekend.
Thanksgiving. I'm trying to block that out of my head because I feel so badly for all my friends in the industry who are going to have to handle that one way or another. But in lieu of, you know, it's been a minute since we've been in this universe. I mean, we're there every week with shows like WandaVision and Cap and Winter Soldier, but we haven't checked in on our big screen equivalents. We had the Black Widow trailer, and that was exciting, but it was kind of nice to just be reminded, like, hey, this is still a thing. We're going to pick up where we left off. This is why you were excited before, and this is what you should be excited for moving forward.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as we go through this, what we're going to start to notice, and Feige, you know, has said as much in the past, that because of Disney Plus and the stories they're able to tell there now, what you're going to see reserved for the big screen is really going to be big spectacles. I think you're going to start to see a lot, not all of them, but I think you're going to start to see a lot of these movies, even when you expect them to be solo helmed, that they're going to start to involve a lot more characters. Now, I don't want to talk too much about Black Widow. We've talked Black Widow
extensively.
I almost said to death. That would have been in poor taste.
That would have been very poor taste.
Shang-Chi, I think, may be one of the last movies to sort of have a singular focus on the hero. I don't think we're going to get an origin story, right? Because, first of all, nobody wants to see that.
No.
And he's already a master of the martial arts. So what we're probably going to see is some sort of event that puts him on the radar of the greater MCU.
I would agree. I think this is going to be a very cool movie in the sense that we like when Marvel Cinematic Universe movies kind of take on other genres, whether that's, you know, the heist movie with Ant-Man or the kind of 70s spy thriller with Winter Soldier, or even like space sci-fi with Guardians. I think, you know, seeing their take on a martial arts movie is going to be really cool. This has an amazing cast. Shang-Chi is a phenomenal character. I'm hoping, like, honestly, what I want to get out of this is just some killer fight scenes, because this is really – this should be a cut above even, like, you know, stuff we see, like the elevator scene in Cap Winter Soldier. Like, this should be the next evolution of that. So I'm really anxious to see this one.
Agreed. The big – I think first question mark for me is the Eternals.
Huge question mark.
On
Huge
top of the fact that I don't already know a lot about the Eternals, I think what I'm most excited about is how this is going to fit into the greater MCU. The synopsis that we've heard is that after the effects of the snapping of the blip, the Deviants and the Eternals basically both come out to play, essentially.
Yeah.
Right. So obviously, you know, we'll have the Eternals battling and defeating the Deviants. How, though, is that going to fit into the greater story that they're telling? Should we expect the Eternals to start showing up in the other movies? Because that's already a big cast.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I do not know what to expect with this one. And I'm familiar with the Eternals passingly. I've read the books. But, I mean, they're not a huge deal in Marvel Comics universe. I know there have been attempts to make them a bigger deal, and I see this almost like when they did the first Guardians movie, and it was so far off in its own world. Like, you never in Guardians 1, there were no references to Avengers or any of those characters. It was just, let's establish this cool on its own thing. And then when it came time for Infinity War and Endgame, it was really cool to see the Guardians standing side by side with the Avengers. I feel like that's kind of what they're going to do with Eternals. I think it's going to be very self-contained. I actually think Shang-Chi is not the last. You mentioned Shang-Chi as being kind of the last, like, off on the side project. I think Eternals is going to kind of be its own thing. I think they're going to work very hard to try to create a mythology that we get excited about, so that when, whether it's later in phase four or more likely in phase five, when it's time to bring everybody together again, it's going to be cool to see the Eternals as part of the mix. But that's kind of my bold prediction, is I think they're going to be kind of their own thing, at least for this first movie.
What I think that they might do with the Eternals, and it actually fits into your Guardians analogy as well, is they are going to be uniquely positioned to give us, the viewers, the major exposition and the lore that we're going to need for some of the bigger, you know, cosmic or quantum threats, because they've been around for so long, which Guardians did when setting up the Infinity Stones, for example.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And obviously we have Spider-Man as well. Spider-Man, I think, is going to be the first movie that really gives us a taste of well, what's the right way to put this? Sort of the cause and effect, right? We know that Wanda and Doctor Strange are going to show up. We know that there are some shenanigans with perhaps different realms or realities. I think that the events at the end of Spider-Man No Way Home is going to be what starts off a chain reaction that eventually gets the attention of whoever the next big bad is, who we'll get to here in just a second. So obviously Spider-Man is going to lead right into Doctor Strange, which will be our first movie of 2022. Thor: Love and Thunder, I think I'm still not sure exactly what to expect here. We know obviously a lot of different influences are being pulled from. Jane Foster as Thor, Gore the God Butcher. This is going to have a massive cast, but I do still think that it will be very focused on Thor and the gods and sort of his immediate vicinity.
If I had to make a likening, I would say this is going to be to Thor what Civil War was to Captain America,
that's
where
a good one, yeah.
it kind of opened up the universe. It was like a lot of people were calling Captain America Civil War Avengers 2.5 because it was an Avengers movie.
Correct.
But then when it came out, we were all impressed with, oh, well, they were able to still tell this is very much a Captain America movie. It just happened to have all the Avengers in it. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they're shooting for with Thor Love and Thunder. You have the added element of Jane as Thor, which I do think shifts things a little bit. But I think in the same way that, you know, Bucky was a big focus of Civil War, I think Jane will be, I don't know. I'm very excited for Thor Love and Thunder. If you had to ask me which of the upcoming Phase 4 movies I'm most excited for, this is probably it. I've got a soft spot for, I really think so, because I have a soft spot for Thor in the cinematic universe. I really, really enjoy what Chris Hemsworth has done. And I also just like, I think there's so much cool stuff. Like, you listed it all. Jane as Thor, Gore the God Butcher. There's so much stuff from the Thor comics that I like that's going to be part of this movie that I'm just really excited. And to go back a second, I also think it's going to be interesting that Black Widow is almost kind of like a coda to Phase 3. And then Shang-Chi and Eternals, like we said, they're going to be setting up their own thing. Then I think you have this run of three movies with Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, and Thor, which is just going to be like, all right, hit the ground running. Phase 4, let's keep ratcheting it up, crossovers, guest stars, the whole shebang.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, actually, I think it's the last movie of 2022. I think they're putting four of them in there. Unfortunately, yeah. I don't have a release date super handy right now. But after Thor Love and Thunder, we have the official title card of Black Panther 2, Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Now, I don't think anybody has any idea what to expect out of this. We know they're not recasting Chadwick. We know that they're not going to CGI Chadwick, and the actress who played
Shuri.
Oh my gosh, completely blanking. Lupita Nyong'o. Nakia. I forget what her name is exactly now. But she's recently came out and said that what Ryan Coogler has planned for the sequel is very respectful. Of you know, the loss everyone's been through, it feels spiritually correct.
Right.
So I'm really excited, and I actually think that the subtitle here, Wakanda Forever, gives us a bit of a hint of what to expect here. I don't think this is going to be a Black Panther film in the way that we think it is. I think this is very much going to be about the fact that Wakanda is more than just the Black Panther.
That's the perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be about the world of Wakanda, all these characters, how they cope with the absence of the Black Panther, and how they step up and show that Wakanda is more than just one man. Wakanda is this movement. And I think we saw some of that in the first movie. I mean, obviously, Ryan Coogler did not know that he would be losing his leading man, but I think he still, despite that, did a good job setting up kind of a world around him that can sustain itself and that is interesting. And I would love to have eight more Black Panther movies with Chadwick Boseman. I don't think there's any question that we would all love to see that. But given the situation, I do think doing this kind of like Wakanda-centric, let's celebrate what we have still approach is the right one.
Yep. Here's my pitch. This is my pitch for Black Panther Wakanda Forever.
Okay.
Atlantis.
Listen up, Ryan Coogler.
Atlantis attacks, right?
Oh, okay.
The main focus of this is the only power on Earth that could possibly match Wakanda, Atlantis. The two of them clash, and right at the beginning, something happens to Black Panther. He's taken off the board in some way. So all of the other characters, you know, from Shuri to the Dora Milaje to M'Baku, all of them have to band together and figure out how is it that we move forward? How do we get past this threat without the king leading us? And, you know, just take it away from there. Take it away.
The only thing I'll say differently, because I do think that's kind of a cool idea, and I would ask, would you have Namor as part of the equation for that?
Yes, I would also, by the way,
yeah,
find a way to bring in a young weather goddess.
Okay, that would be very cool. I'd love to see that. The only place I'll zig where you zagged is that I think that when they open the movie, T'Challa should already be off the board. I think it should have happened basically between movies. I don't want to see a forced scene of, you know, the death of T'Challa where it's, you know, a stunt double playing him or something like that.
It wouldn't be a death. Basically, you know, Atlantis, I don't know if Atlantis gets the you know, the leg up on them or what, but T'Challa had went to try and solve it himself.
Right.
And we don't know what happened.
He's incapacitated.
Exactly. Indisposed.
I'm down with that. I'm down with that. I just want that when we open the movie, I want that to have already taken place. Yeah. Like, I want it to be off camera. Yeah.
All right. So that's what we got so far, but we're not done yet. We have three, actually technically four, big names to keep on discussing. And that'll be coming right here after the break.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The esports world continues to grow, and that includes a massive emerging collegiate space. There's going to be one place where you can come and get the latest news for college esports, and that's Checkpoint On Campus, the voice of college esports. So whether it be the latest in college COD or more, make sure you check out Checkpoint On Campus on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 4 technically kicked off with WandaVision, but I suppose in a way, has Phase 4 really started if we haven't gotten one of the first big blockbusters of the year?
No, it feels like Phase 3.5 right now, if that makes any sense.
I mean, we are still dealing, you know, with after effects of the Infinity Saga, so kind of, yeah, a little bit. I get it. So you had mentioned that Thor for Love and Thunder was the one you were most looking forward to. The one that I am most looking forward to, we're about to talk about right now, and it came with a name change. The official title of Captain Marvel 2 is actually The Marvels, and we have got an official synopsis from Marvel, so many Marvels, that confirms what all of us probably thought when we read it, that this movie will take place with Carol Danvers, with Monica Rambeau, and with Kamala Khan.
Yeah. This is really exciting news.
I cannot wait.
Yeah. We haven't even seen Kamala Khan yet, and I'm already super excited
for
this.
Have you seen the set photos of her costume?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
she looks great. It looks fantastic.
And that's just a cell phone picture. Once it goes through like all the Marvel magic, oh my gosh, she's going to look fantastic. Yeah.
I think this is a great move. I think that, obviously, I love Teyonah Parris' Monica Rambeau. She was one of the highlights of WandaVision for me, and that's really saying something. I have all the faith that they're going to kill it on Ms. Marvel, and this is a good chance to give Carol Danvers a little bit of shine. I'm excited, too, that we're going to see a Captain Marvel movie set in the present day, because I did feel like that kind of hamstrung the first one a little bit, putting it in the 90s.
And I think that was one of the worries, too, that we would get a few stories, like, just told in the past, right?
Right, and I don't want that. I want Carol Danvers in the Marvel Universe interacting with the people of her legacy, which she's going to be doing here. I want Carol Danvers to be an important part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I think if you keep telling stories set in the past, it's hard to really examine her impact. I want to see the woman who stepped up and took it to Thanos in Endgame, and I want to see her shine. And I think showing how she's inspired other characters is a really cool way to do that. So I'm pretty excited for this one as well.
Yeah, I think the biggest question for me so far is where Monica Rambeau is currently headed, because at the end of WandaVision, right, you know, they basically a Skrull basically showed up and was like, Fury needs you, right? We know that we're probably not going to see him until Secret Invasion, so I assume we'll get Secret Invasion before we get the Marvels.
So the big question is,
I mean, with Ms. Marvel coming, with Kamala Khan, not that it's out of the question, but I definitely feel like this is probably going to be centered more Earth-centric than it will be.
I would think so.
You know, out in the cosmos somewhere. So,
well, I mean, the only thing I'll say to that though is that Carol Danvers obviously has the Kree connection and she spent a lot of her first movie in space. Monica Rambeau connected to S.W.O.R.D., which is an outer space mm-hmm. initiative, is already dealing with Skrulls. So I'll alter that only to say I do think it'll probably be pretty Earth-centric, but I do think it could be – I think this could be the Kree-Skrull War coming to Earth. Because you've got the Skrulls established in Secret Invasion. You've got the Skrulls established in Secret Invasion. Kree is so important to Carol's origin. And then, you know, even with Ms. Marvel, the question of whether or not you know what's weird is I wonder if she's going to be an Inhuman or not. Because I feel like the Inhumans franchise is so tarnished by that awful TV series that we're all trying to forget. And I'm not talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm talking about actual Inhumans.
I'm aware of what you're talking about.
I know you love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Let me give you a bit of a bold prediction here. First of all, please. I love the Kree-vs Skrull War coming in. Yeah. And that's the reason you bring them in. Here's the problem that we have. Carol Danvers is still, hands down, the most powerful hero we have seen. And it's not even close. Right. I don't think it matters what you put her up against in her form right now. She doesn't really need the help of the other Marvels. So how do we put her in a position that she needs their help? I think that we could see the introduction. Once again, this is going to be a running theme for me throughout Phase 4 here. I want to see mutants sprinkled in left and right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I think we see the introduction of Rogue.
Ooh, that'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And depower her a little bit,
yeah.
Yeah, that could be interesting. Yeah, I'm in favor of sprinkling mutants in throughout Phase 4 and building up to we've got a couple more movies to talk about, and I do want the last one we talk about, I think, should be kind of the big moment of Phase 4.
Yes.
But I'm also not opposed to the idea of looking forward to Phase 5, and I do think Phase 5 is X-Men full court press.
Yeah. Again, I'm still going to be on the train that when the X-Men reveal finally happens, it shouldn't just be like, oh, where did all these people come from? You have to be able to look back and be like, they've been here all along if you were looking for them.
Yeah, totally.
So next up, this is another one, and I think it has a little bit to do with the fact that, you know, when it comes to comic history and comic canon, there's a lot that I don't know about Ant-Man, especially Scott Lang. But Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, the only thing that we sort of big thing that we know for sure is that Jonathan Majors was cast as Kang the Conqueror.
And I'll say this, there is just to fill you in, to best of my knowledge, and my knowledge runs pretty deep, there is not a lot of Ant-Man Kang history in the comics. I think if they've encountered each other, it's been in larger Avengers stories. So I think we might see a different new fun take on Kang here. And I'm actually, I'm reading the Doctor Doom series by Christopher Cantwell right now. And he's got Kang in there almost kind of as a comedic foil. And I'm shocked at how well it works. So I would imagine, look, it's an Ant-Man movie. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun. It's not going to be relentlessly dark. So I do imagine that if they're bringing Kang in, there will be some enjoyable aspects to be played off of, but I think this is something new. I don't think Kang is not traditionally an Ant-Man villain. So the fact that they have him for this means they have some sort of idea for something new and different, which is, again, very exciting.
See, I'm going to disagree. Not necessarily with all of that. I think everything that you said was correct.
Right.
But I think that there's a chance, because, again, we don't know a whole lot about it. We just know that Jonathan Majors was cast as Kang for this movie in some way, shape, or form. I don't even necessarily think that that means that he's going to be the main villain.
Okay.
This could just be where we see the first
iteration,
introduction, or iteration, again, time traveler.
Yeah.
The first iteration. The fact that Kang, future version of Iron Lad, a.k.a. Nathaniel Richards, everyone should recognize that last name, and knowing where we're going, he's definitely not going to be a one-stop shop villain.
Well, you know what else? You know what else is interesting? They have been slow. One thing we haven't noticed, you know, we've talked about the build to X-Men. We're going to talk about the build to the big, you know, final movie of Phase 4. But another thing they've been kind of quietly seeding is the Young Avengers.
Yes.
Because we saw Isaiah Bradley's nephew. Or grandson, I forget. His grandson.
In Patriot.
We saw the character who will become Patriot potentially. We saw Ant-Man's daughter is now grown, so she could potentially...
They've also recast her, which yep. makes me think brand new contract.
We're going to get Kate Bishop in the Hawkeye series.
We've seen Speed and Wiccan.
Yep. We've seen Speed and Wiccan. And so really, we're just missing Hulkling.
And guess what? Secret Invasion.
And Ironwood. Yeah. So I think the quiet build throughout Phase 4 is Young Avengers. And I'm excited about that because I love the Young Avengers. And I'm excited to see what they do with them. I know you've really only encountered them through Empire. Mm-hmm. But that's actually a book we should go back and read sometime. It's the original Young Avengers series.
I think through Doctor Strange and Ant-Man and the Wasp specifically, and sort of the end of Spider-Man, I think that between the reality-altering stuff, between whatever's happening in the quantum realm, and you know, obviously all the time travel and you know stuff that happened with the Infinity Saga, I think that these are big enough events that they are going to draw the attention of Kang. And because he's a time traveler, we could see multiple versions of Kang, which I know that the comics has played around with before.
Oh, yeah. Boy, have that.
And then finally, not actually finally, but bear with me for a second here. We have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. This is another one that I don't think is going to... I think this is our calm before the major MCU storm, if you will.
I would agree.
Volume 3, it is, as far as we've been told by James Gunn on you know stuff like Twitter and stuff like this, this is the final sort of entry into his Guardians franchise. This is going to be the end of the story that he is telling. We've heard all sorts of rumors over the past, you know, that the High Evolutionary is going to be in there. Moondragon's going to be in there. I think we're going to see...
Adam Warlock is almost assuredly in there.
Yes. Yeah, I think we're going to see the close of these Guardians as we know it. In fact, Dave Bautista has actually
said he's done.
That he's done. Doesn't mean that Drax is done, but he said that he is done. Well, if James Gunn wanted to make a fourth one or wanted to do something else and asked him to come back, I think that he would in a heartbeat.
It was an interesting back and forth where he basically said, like, I'm done as Drax. And then he corrected to say, but that doesn't mean Drax is done. Correct. I just don't want to play him anymore. Mm-hmm. And then James Gunn came back and said, he's like, as far as I'm concerned, if you're not Drax, like, nobody is Drax moving forward. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. But I agree with you that I tend to think that this movie is going to be a bit, and you know what? This fits with Guardians Volume 1 and Guardians Volume 2. It was always kind of, all right, here's what's going on over in the Guardians side of the universe in between Avengers movies. And I think Volume 3 is going to be much the same. I don't think it's going to be, maybe Thor will be in it, but I don't think it's going to be them building towards the next big threat. I think it's going to be kind of our chance to say goodbye to these characters who, let's be honest, are among the most beloved characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. As much as everybody loves Cap and Iron Man, I would argue that, you know, the Guardians characters, people have a real soft spot for them. Yep. And I think it's going to be a nice send-off. You know, I think we'll probably still get some of the characters moving forward, particularly Rocket and Groot, I don't think are going anywhere, especially, or you think they are.
I think that with the High Evolutionary, and with rumors that, I forget her name, but Rocket's girlfriend.
Yeah.
I think that there's a very real chance that, that Guardians 3 could be the end of Rocket's story. Now, what type of ending he gets is up in the air. But yeah, I think so.
Very good. All right, what do we got for
all
the
right,
real
now,
main
for those
events?
Of you who I think have been waiting for this, and Ben, I know you've alluded to it a few times, we're looking forward to talking about this. There was obviously one more teaser at the very end for the Fantastic Four, but unfortunately, we are out of time.
Oh, no!
And next week, we've actually had this one in the bag for a while, and it's kind of kismet the way that it's lined up here. We are currently reading through our Fantastic Four Essentials, which you can
find
that list in the Checkpoint XP Discord. So if you have it, make sure that you go and give that a join. Check out Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook. Next week, we're going to talk about some of the essential Fantastic Four stories, where you should start, why you should read them, and we're going to talk about how a Fantastic Four movie perfectly fits at the end of Phase 4 and kicks us into Phase 5, guys. So this is an episode you do not want to miss.
Must listen.
So tune in next week, same other identity time, same other identity channel.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.